Yeah, you're in for a treat tonight. And that path he was talking about is a briar patch. I had turned off my cell phone earlier, just the courtesy of being in church, and I realized I didn't have a watch. So I figured it might be a good plan for me to have this somewhere available so you could go home tonight. Or borrow yours. Or you can just say, it's time. And as I've said many times before, if you get through listening before I get through talking, just ease on out. It'll be all right. And I could talk to a stop sign. I've told you that before. Matter of fact, I probably have talked to a stop sign, and I just keep talking to it, and it keeps standing there, and I think it's enjoying it, so I just keep talking. And when I get tired, that's when I'll quit. So I wanted to tell you, I like to always start out with stories. Brother Everett's a good role model when it comes to stories. I can't tell stories like he can. But you know I like to pray, and I like to pray going to work, and I spend time in prayer when I get up in the morning, and that's a priority to me. That is a priority, that and Bible study. And as I was leaving my driveway in the dark of the morning, when I leave it's dark, and when I come home it's dark, and if the time changes it doesn't really seem to make any difference. It's still dark when I leave and dark when I get home. But as I was leaving one morning, and I was already in the car, and I was starting down the driveway, and you know, as you can look over the hood of your car, you can see a little reflection of the headlights, and you can see what's on the hood. Well, on the hood is two little things, that little nozzles that squirt the water on your windshield, so when it gets dirty, you know, it cleans it off. Well, this particular morning, I'd already begun my prayer, and I was getting ready to pull out in the road, and as I was turning out, there was another little knot up on the hood of the car. And I'm going, what is that? And I realized I was already going 45 miles an hour down the road, and I could see the headlights as it was glistening up on the top of the car. And what I saw at 45 miles an hour was a little frog. He had a leg up in the air, and he was hanging on for everything he had. And I felt sorry for him. I just broke right out of my prayer into praying for the frog. It didn't matter. I'll pray for anything. God's creatures. I said, Lord, would you help this frog? I said, I know I'm talking about something else, but here's a little frog. He's in trouble, and he's right in front of me, and I'm praying. Would you help him? He was gone. I said, Lord, I hope he lands safely. I didn't have time to stop and let him off. I continued on into my prayer. I got somewhere around Jeffersonville, somewhere in that area, about 5 to 7 in the morning. I'm somewhere in that area. And I'm still praying, and I'm rejoicing in the Lord, and I'm just riding along like I always do. If I'm not listening to a sermon, I'm praying. And if I'm praying and I want to get through at 7 o'clock, I can listen to Dr. David Jeremiah on the radio. So I'm going to get some prayer time in, some Bible time in, one way or the other. So here I am driving down the road. All of a sudden, out of my dash, guess what? Comes a little frog. I'm in my 50s. I've been in a lot of vehicles. I've had a lot of road miles. I've been all over the world, but I have never had a frog come out of my dash. I said, well, look at here. What is this frog doing coming out of my dash? I was totally stunned. I was going, what is going on? And little frog, he just gets out, little rain frog, and he just sits up there and he starts looking at me. And it hit me that I had just prayed for that frog not 20 minutes ago. It was almost like the Lord said, where is your faith? You prayed for it, I delivered. Here he is. You're right, that's exactly what I was thinking. Lord, you got a sense of humor, don't you? You care about the little frogs. Well, me and the little frog, we sat there and we rode on the making for the next 25, 30 minutes. I was looking at him, he was looking at me. He got up on the side here and he got up on the glass and he's sitting there looking at me, and I'm looking at him just giggling because God done answered a prayer. There it was. Nobody's going to believe this. Nobody's going to believe this. So we rode on to Macon. I got almost to Macon, and he decided he would get on my sleeve, and he would walk. I was hoping he was going to jump in a little cup of coffee I had over there. He got on my sleeve, and he walked on up, and I figured if God had blessed the frog, he was okay to ride with me. And I said, nobody's going to believe this. And I think God must have heard me. So the little frog, he just got up on the dash and he left me a present. Little present on the dash. Now, it is the funniest thing when you think about it. But I'm going, why are you leaving this present on my dash? Miss Mary, it is funny, isn't it? It wasn't an audible voice or anything, but the only thing I could figure is, later on in the day when I was going, did that frog really ride with me to Macon? When I got in the car, there was that little present. Anyway, the frog and I, we got to Macon, and I gently grabbed the hold to him and put him on the grass, and he went along his little merry way. I remember that Sister Poucher, I've only heard a couple things about frogs. She talked about, it's always stuck in my mind, I can't remember what she talked about, but I remember what she said. She said, have you ever kissed a frog? And I thought, that's a strange message. Of course, God used frogs in Pharaoh's time as well. Well, are you loose yet? Well, praise the Lord. I hope you are. As normal, I figured out something just recently. I struggle a lot when I'm supposed to speak somewhere. I'm beginning to wonder, am I supposed to be speaking at all? Sister Betty and I was talking last night. Every time, it seems like every time, the last three times and times before that, no matter where I go, right before I get ready to speak, I'm going to get a fever, I'm going to get sick, and there's something comes up all the time. Well, I've been knowing, like everybody else, when you're supposed to speak for months now. Lord, where's the message? Lord, what am I doing wrong? Lord, would you give me what you want me to have? I'm not one of those who can go and pull up a message or something I had 6 months ago. It just don't feel right to me. I need to hear from God. I need to have an updated message. I need to know what He needs today. Because the message is going to be for you and it's going to be for me. And your situation is changing and we just need to know what's going on. Well, about 7, 8 o'clock last night, I done pretty much got stressed out. My Lord, here I am. I'm sitting on the couch. I done read your word. I done studied your word. What's it going to be? About 9 o'clock, I wish you'd have been at my house about 9 o'clock. My wife didn't know this. But I'm going to tell you what, if you'd have been there, we'd have had a good time last night. Man, the Holy Spirit came, the Lord came, just blessed me. And it was amazing. And what I've come to realize is I do not have a good memory. And I'm not near as old as you, Brother Everett. But I do not have a good memory. And I've come to realize that the Lord, He's not going to give me something too far out because I'm not going to remember what it was. And you know, that's about what I've come to remember. And before we get into what I want to talk about this evening, or what the Lord wants to talk about this evening, you can flip over to Philippians if you want to. That's where we're going to be at. And I've told you before, I'm one of those people that I really like to have everything down in order and all that kind of stuff, but you know, God doesn't always work that way. He doesn't work that way at all with me. He wants me to do it right on the fly. Stan told me earlier when I come in, he said, all right, brother, don't let me down. What he didn't know was I was going, Lord, don't let me down. You got to come. You got to come this evening. You got to tell us something. You know what I wish? I wish that the Lord would just turn me loose. And actually, that's probably not the right thing to say. I wish I could get turned loose in the Lord. I wish the Lord would come and use me and just whatever He wants. Let it be done. Let His work be done here this evening. So before we go to the Word this evening, let's go to the Lord with a word of prayer. Father, we come here this evening as we do each Wednesday night and Sunday morning and Sunday night. And we're not looking for what man has to say. But we're looking, Lord, what You have to say. And God, we come and we lean upon You, Lord, and we seek Your Word, and we seek guidance from You, Lord, and tonight is no difference. Lord, if You don't come, there will be no message. If You don't come this evening, Lord, and touch hearts, nothing will be done. It'll just be another night during the week. But Lord, that's not what we want. And Lord, You've already heard me say, use me, Lord. Whatever Your will might be. Help me, Lord, tonight to speak clearly and convey the message. And, Lord, that at least one heart might be touched. One heart might be altered. One heart might be drawn closer to You. And, Lord, whatever's done here this evening, we'll give You all the praise, honor, and glory. And we ask Your blessings upon the service. In Jesus' name, amen. Last evening, the Lord had brought my attention to the book of Philippians and Actually, what I did was I typically have the King James Bible, and I like to go with it. But I've got the NIV and I printed it out. I'll tell you something. There's power in this thing. The Word of God. There's power in it. And I'll tell you what else too. I don't even have to read a word out of it. Now, just holding it in my hand, walking around, just exhilarates me. It is just God's Word. And God is here tonight. And if I don't even say another word, He's here. And if you want Him in your heart, and if you want to know Him, if you want to live close to Him, if you want your life to change, if you want more of God, He's available to you. All you got to do is have your heart open. Have your heart open to what He wants to tell you. In the book of Philippians, chapter 4, starting with verse 20, Paul is talking here. He said, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet, what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is better by far. But it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with you all, with all of you, in your progress and joy and faith, so that through me being with you again, your joy in Christ will overcome on account of me. I underlined, for me to live is Christ. Oh, Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. I told you the wrong thing, didn't I? I told you 4. I knew something was wrong. People start raising their hand. Something ain't going right, is it? Where's he at? That's what I was saying last night. Lord, where you at? Praise God. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. You know, he had it right. To live is Christ. To live the life as Christ and to die as gain. Brother Everett talked probably about a month ago about being ready. He talked about being tired. He talked about all the miles that he's put on. And and I agree with him. I agreed with him then. I agree with him now. That we need to have such a peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding. And we'll read more about that, and I'll give you the right scripture in a few minutes. But for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And what's unique about this is that he says, yet what shall I choose? He says, I don't know. I'm torn between the two. I'm torn between staying here and serving God, serving in a servant's capacity, or just giving it up and going on home and being with God. I just think it's neat that as he speaks here, it's as though he has the choice to decide right then what he wants to do. As if God has given him, said, if you want to stay, you stay. If you want to come on home, you come on home now. It says, I desire to part and to be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain. And I will continue with you in all your progress and joy and faith. We need to be doing things for God. We need to be busy about God's work. To be like Christ, what does it mean to be like Christ? What does it mean to be like Christ? Does it mean to be like Dennis or Reed or Don? You know, it's about a holy life. Have you ever really thought about what it's really supposed to be like being like Christ? We watched the potter's wheel, the movie. And he explained how that vessel was made to be a cup to be poured out on people. And isn't that what Christ did? He sent His Son, and His Son gave everything. Gave all that He had. Everything. Do you really want to be like that? Are you really willing to give all you have? I find myself in a lot of predicaments from time to time, and my wife tells me I don't know how to say no, and she's right. I get so bogged down in doing so many different things. But you know what? There's something inside of me that says I want to be like Christ. I have got eternity to rest. I've got eternity to sit down and just enjoy God's creation, enjoy listening to the many stories of all the people that's come to heaven. I visualize in my mind that we'll be able to see them as if they were movies. And I will be able to go with Brother Everett and see Brother Everett's life and see the time that he led that one to Christ. And those things are important to me. Brother Don mentioned about so many people needing Christ and about salvation. And that's at the heart of my life. And in my prayer times in the morning, I spend more time praying for lost souls than I actually pray for the needs of the people that are sick. It's overwhelming, and it's beginning to be more and more time for lost and less time for those that are needing it. But I desperately want to be like Christ. Nobody's going to follow Dennis Johnson. Nobody's going to follow me, and nobody's going to follow you. But if you're living in Christ, if you're living close to the Lord, if He is exalted in your life, you will be different. You will be different. I want to get to the point where Paul's at, where Paul can say, I'm ready to go. Actually, I am ready to go. I'm with Brother Everett, and we may not have many of us, but if a bus is ready tonight, this old boy's ready to go. There's nothing holding me here. Now, I love my wife, and I love my family, and I know God will take care of her if something happens to me. But folks, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. It's not because I feel pain in my knees. It's not because I'm tired of doing the work around here or anywhere else. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to see God. But just like Paul in his Word, there's a lot of work to be done. I can still stay here and do the work. I've got the eternity to rest. Today's church, maybe not this church, but today's church has got this out of whack because today's church thinks it's time to rest now. You don't have many out there doing the work. Today's church is resting now when we should be working. I was driving down the road the other day, and I looked on one side, and there's cotton fields full of white harvest. I looked on the other side, and there was cotton fields full of white harvest. There was nobody in the fields doing the work. I was riding by, and I was thinking, lost souls, lost souls, lost souls. There's nobody doing the work. The church is resting. We've got plenty of time to rest, folks. We've got lots of time to rest. You know, I want to be like Paul here. Yes, I want to go and be with the Master. Yes, I want to go and be with Christ. I can't imagine what it's going to be like to be with the Lord. Oh, I do love Him, though, I tell you that. He's on my mind when I get up in the morning. He's on my mind when I go to bed. He's on my mind when I'm driving down the road. He's on my heart. And when I see people that don't know Him, I'm going, what can I do to help them to find Christ? What can I do to let these folks see Christ in me? You know, I've told you the story about the young lady, the receptionist at work, and she thought Daryl Gay and I were alcoholics because we hadn't drunk anything in so many years. It was a hoot, I tell you, it was a hoot. Daryl and I have been around her long enough. She told me yesterday, she says, I like being around you and Daryl. Y'all make me feel so good. And she's going through a hard time right now. I'm not going to get into what she's going through, but just remember her. Her name's Amanda. But we got to be like Christ to somebody. How can we be different? How can we lead people to the Lord if we look like everybody else? If we look like everybody else. I wish there was some way. I can't speak for anybody except Brother Everett myself. I wish that I knew, or that you knew, that the bus is ready and you're ready to go tonight and there's nothing holding you here. You know, you don't get that kind of feeling, or you don't get that kind of knowledge, and you don't get that kind of understanding unless the Lord gives it to you. You're going to have peace with the Lord. And that doesn't come, and I wanted to go down through some other things, and I have no clue what time it is. I think I'm pretty good on time, right, brother? Talk to me now. That means, yeah, y'all blame him if we're running late. I really don't think that everybody in the church has the kind of peace that we're talking about. I really don't. I think there'd be more going on if we did. So I'm asking you real quick, are you ready to go tonight? If you're hedging, if you're hem-hawing any at all, then you still got some work to be done in your life. You've got to get to the point where you're ready to go. I'm ready to go right now. But, and I'm okay with that, but there's much more work to be done. You know, that's when you got to the point where the cup that you've been grinding on, and I've told you this before, when I cringe sometimes when I ask God, okay, Lord, you need to put me on the wheel, because I hadn't been on the wheel in a while. And every time He puts me on the wheel, He digs down in there and it gets a little uncomfortable, and he plucks out some little thing, some little piece of straw, some little impurity that's there that you didn't even know was there. Well, I can honestly say we're getting down to the short straws now. He's beginning to put me in the kettle and polish me up a little bit, because I'm ready to go. There's not a whole lot left. So if I depart tonight and I go home, Brother Don's already told me, was somebody going to be dancing on my casket? We had a conversation a long time ago, brother. You may not remember that. If it's time for me to go and you guys are here and I'm not, man, I want y'all to have a celebration. Have a party. Have a good time, because my brother Dennis will be in heaven. I can assure you that. I'm ready to go. I've got the confidence. I've got that feeling that God has just poured Himself out of me, and I'm at His disposal 24 hours a day. Woo, praise God. Man, have you got it? Have you got that yet? If you hadn't got it yet, you got some peace coming your way if you could just get there. You know, I believe I was trying to figure out, I was trying to figure out in my mind, why doesn't the church, why doesn't the majority of the body have that kind of peace? Why don't they? And I got to thinking about how we're brought up. Well, we're brought up, and first thing we are, we're sent to school, and we go through this grade, and we go through this grade, and we go through this grade, and then when we get through all those grades, we have to do all these tests, and we have to pass, and we have to make good, and if not, they kick us back to the grade again, and if we fail enough, they push us on up anyway, and we're just bigger than everybody else in the class. But we go through this process, and we just continue on and on and on and on and on, and it's called the system. It's what we are, and then you go out and you get a job and this and that and the other. Well, in the church world, the first thing we see is we got to get you saved. We got to introduce you to Christ. You have to know the Lord or you can't go anywhere else. And somewhere along the way, I just pulled something out here, is here we are with the Ten Commandments. And somewhere along in your early Christian life, you're looking and you're trying to figure out, well, I'm saved, and okay, well, I've gotten baptized, and okay, that means something. Check that off. Okay, well, somebody brings up the Ten Commandments, and okay, and I begin to look down at the Ten Commandments, and okay, I met that one. I'm not doing too good in that one. Okay. Well, eventually, at some point in time, I get to this process or this stage in my life with Christ that all the Ten Commandments, I have no issues with those. None at all. I'm on my way. I'm doing good. And then somewhere along the line, somebody preaches about tithing. Somebody preaches about tithing. The pastor has to preach about tithing once a year. So maybe this will be a little prelude. I don't know when you're going to preach about it or when you're ready for it. But, you can't fire me. All you can do is keep me from speaking next time. That's all right. It's not my word. It's God's word. And then somebody brings about tithing, and I realize, well, I'm not tithing. I guess I need to be tithing. That's part of the process. That's part of the path. And so begin to tithe. But you know what? I still don't have that peace. I don't have that peace that says, I'm ready to get on the bus tonight. Somewhere along that path between getting saved and now to the point of tithing, you may be along that path somewhere. And it's not necessarily tithing, or it's not necessarily baptism. But at some point in time, you're going to turn everything you got over to God. And you're going to get what these Nazarenes call sanctified. And you're going to get where nothing's important but God when you're in the scheme of life. And you're going to get entirely sanctified. And you're going to realize that, woo, what a blessing it is when God sanctifies you, when God gets in your life, and God fills you with a joy that only the Lord can bring. And that, woo, what a blessing it is. You look forward to getting up in the morning. You look forward to coming to church. Man, you can't keep me out of church on Sunday morning. Woo, man, we got that wonderful choir at Dublin First Church too. I tell you what, they get me fired up. Oh, man. Wow. Somewhere between getting saved and getting sanctified, if you've done it right, if you listen to God, if you paid attention to Him, man, you're ready to get on the bus. You're ready to get on the bus tonight. But you realize there's lots of work to be done. Somewhere between those two points, the church itself has said, I'm not ready to get on the bus, and I've done all these things, and there's something else I need to do. I don't know what it is yet, so I'm just going to sit down. I think that's where a lot of our churches are today. We're not ready to go to the mission field. I actually believe a lot of our churches and people today are afraid what God's going to ask them to do. I really do. The same fear that's keeping you from doing what God wants you to do is the same fear that's keeping you from getting on the bus. But if you can die out to self, if you can give it all to God, say, you can have my old Dodge truck, Lord. I love my old Dodge truck. You can have my, if those that know me know I love my truck. I've been driving it since 84, 86. Brian, you give God the truck, wouldn't you? Amen, brother. If you get where God wants you, you'll give Him anything you want. Anything He wants. It's His. Brother, we doing all on time? Praise God. Y'all may get home time to watch something. What was that? Got to practice. Take time. All right. I'll just look at Brother Don. We'll see. Chapter 4. We're going to chapter 4 this time. Verse 4. Y'all find it. Make sure I got first words, rejoice. Are you there yet? Anybody found it? I want to make sure I'm on the right page. All right. I got two hands up. The rest of you on your own. Chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious in anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will, watch this, guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Brother Joel, I told you Sunday, you know what you read in Sunday school. That was the confirmation that I was on the right track. God didn't deliver it to me till last night. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Well, for you to have this peace, first of all, for Him to be able to guard your heart, He's got to own your heart. He's got to own your heart. Does God own your heart tonight? If your heart's in your wallet, does He own your wallet? God's got to own your heart. If you'll give Him your heart, what He says right here, He says, I'll give you peace and I'll guard it. Now here comes the hard part. The next part says, and your minds. You see, we have to engage the mind before we can figure out what we're supposed to do. That's where we start getting in trouble. I spoke a while back about God's armor and about the breastplate of righteousness and about the helmet of salvation and some other things. And I did this morning because I want you to do it. One or two of you will do it. This morning when I got up, I said, the Lord done told me what I was going to talk about. And now when I got up this morning, Joy's still asleep. I pretended like I picked up my helmet of salvation and I put it on my head. And right before this, Satan was he was messing with me. He was putting all kinds of stuff in my head, trying to steer me away from this message. So you picture this. I'm first thing this morning, you all probably half of you asleep. I got in there and pretended like I put on my helmet of salvation and I tied it off. You know, when I did that, everything went quiet. I said, praise God. It works. Wasn't nothing but faith. Stepped out on faith. Put on the helmet of salvation. Woo! Next thing I did was, I said, let's put on this breastplate of righteousness. Oh, God, protected my heart for the day. It works. Sometime this week, I want you to try it. Now, one or two of you is going to do it. The rest of you is going to want to, but you're going to feel stupid and you ain't going to do it. Y'all going to be the ones that don't get on the bus. You're not ready yet. Some of you have been in the oven too long. You've been on 350 in the oven for 50 years and you ain't done nothing yet. You got to get out the oven. God's poking you over there and there's still blood coming out. You're not done yet. Somebody say amen. Woo! I'm telling you, folks, the peace that surpasses all understanding. You know, I lost my job not long ago. I had peace about it. Peace enough to go pray with the man that let me go before I got out of the building. I'm not telling you that to boaster. I'm just telling you I have got the peace of God that lives in me. Now, am I infallible? Absolutely not. I'm just like you. I can do all kinds of things wrong. I can hurt your feelings, and I wouldn't even mean to. But I'm sure striving to be with God, be in sync with God, not one step ahead of Him, not one step behind Him, but right with Him. If He stops, I want to bump Him in the back. I want to walk with the Lord. And when He's ready to get on the bus, I'm ready to get on the bus with Him. Man, we got to be there. We got to be there. Man, this is the time of Christmas. And if you'll look on Christmas Day, and you go outside and look, there'll be peace. You won't see all the cars going up and down the road. You're going to see some stores open. They're going to try to make that mighty dollar. But by far, if you look out, it'll be quiet. If you go out and listen, you'll hear the peace. We can live in that peace every single day. Listen to me, my brothers and sisters. We can have the peace of Christ, but you're going to have to be willing to give up yourself. You're going to have to be willing to die out to Christ. Oh, there's more to living than you're living now. There's much more. There's much more. Woo! Praise God. I love Him. How about you? Do you really love Him? Man, you're going to have to die out, folks. You're going to have to turn it on up to 400 and get done so we can get on the bus. Lots of work to be done. The fields are full, the laborers are few. Verse 8 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about it. Think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. I wrote a note down here. Just paraphrases, says, pass it on. Pass it on. What a lot of you don't realize is you're excellent role models. I have picked out certain things in a lot of you that are great characters of God. You are excellent role models. and you don't even realize it. And you know, there's no matter where you're at, there's always going to be cliques. You'll have a cliquey group here. Maybe it's the choir. Maybe the choir all hangs out. And you'll have all the pastors, their little cliquey group, because they all got similar like stuff. And of course, you're going to have the insurance folks back here. They're going to all hang out together. Man, I tell you, I'm just proud that I'm part of this church, because the clickiness is the Holy Spirit, God living in us. We love each other. Man, praise God. This is a wonderful church. God lives in this place. And you can have all of Him you want. There's no limit. Brother Wise always talks about getting under the glory spout. Man, pour it out, Lord. Pour it out. I'm going to just drown in it, but I know I got work to do. I can't stay here all day. Man, you can have it. You can have all of God you want. You just got to go after it. There is nothing to fear but fear itself. A lot of you probably, God's asked you to do something and you hadn't done it because you're afraid. Well, where do you reckon that's coming from? It ain't from God. You can do anything through Christ. God will help you do anything. I'll be honest with you. I didn't know if I was going to be able to speak tonight. I've been running a slight grade of fever for about a week. It's not contagious. Don't worry. It's the old sinuses and stuff. But you know what? I'm so thankful I came tonight. It may not be for your benefit, but maybe it was for mine. I'm so thankful that God just allowed me to stand up here and share a few words, that if there's some way you could get one nugget out of it this week, if there's some way in the morning that you could go over there when nobody's looking and put on that helmet of salvation. You know, there's a reason why it's a helmet. And I wonder sometimes, why doesn't it cover the eyes? Of course, I know we have to see it. And I started thinking about that, and because there's so much that we see today that's negative. There's so much that we see. If you look at the TV today, everything is negative. Everything is the world seems to be just going opposite of God. And sometimes I wish there was a world blinder that I could put on that would black out the world. But look here, folks, when I come to church, I want it wide open. And I want these things right here to be wide open too, so I can hear what God's telling me. Brother Clint, what time is it? 5 minutes? Wow. All right. We're going to let y'all out early so y'all can go practice. That all right with you, Brother Don? Listen, I love all of you. I appreciate you. I'm just a layman. But, man, I love God. And whatever He wants to do with me, that'd be fine. That'd be fine. I'm ready to go. Whatever it is. And, man, I love all of you. You're just excellent role models. Paul's an excellent role model. What you've got to do with your life is you're going to have to pass on Christ in you to somebody else. And above all, folks, get done. Get done. Get done so that the world can feast off of the glory that God's given you, and that you can be a sweet savor in somebody's mouth out in the world. Man, you folks are so sweet. If the people that I know knew you, wow, they would be thrilled, because you're some wonderful people. And if you're not done, you got to get done. Because what we should have tonight is everybody in here should be ready to go get on the bus. Man, toot, toot, there comes Christ. I'm ready to get on the bus. Woo! Don't, be careful, don't knock everybody down, because I'm ready to get on the bus, everybody at one time. Ain't it right, Brother Everett? I'll sit on the back, it don't matter. It's going to the same place. Praise God. Okay, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You this evening. It's been a little unusual message, and Lord, it's Your message. Father, I just thank You, Lord, for allowing me the privilege to stand here and speak this evening. And Lord, I hope and pray that whatever I've said, Lord, has been covered up or somehow, Lord, that You have put Your word in there, that the words that have been spoken are Your words and they've been heard. And Lord, I pray You'd help Your people. Help them get to the point of peace that surpasses all understanding. Lord, we need You. We need You, Lord, to take charge of our lives. We need to have enough faith and strength to die out to self. Oh God, so that we can be Christ-like to somebody else. Because Lord, if we can get beyond ourselves and our own wants, this life we have is very short. But Lord, we've got eternity with You and there's work to be done. And Father, I just pray, oh God, that You'd help us to do it. And Lord, help Your people to keep that salvation, that helmet of salvation on and the breastplate of righteousness. And Lord, guard their hearts and their minds that the old adversary out there, the old devil, won't come in and break in somehow. And Lord, let their hearts be full of joy and glory for You. Lord, we thank You for this church. We thank You for Your people, Lord. We just pray, God, You'd bless us as we leave here this evening. Bless our homes, God. Help us to win more people for Christ. We ask it in the holy, precious name of Jesus. Amen.